Wendy Snyder sitting in for Bob Surratt. He'll be back on Monday. I always love listening to This Week in Chicago History, and joining us now is Anna DeVlantis. Hi, Anna.
Hey, Wendy. Good morning.
Good morning. Good. I really, you do such a great job with this. So where
Thank
do you? let's start with, go ahead. You kick it off.
Do you remember this? Let me ask you this, Wendy, because I think you'll remember this one. Do you remember this is one of the most incredible moments in TV history that wasn't. It was the mystery of Al Capone's vault.
Oh, yeah. Geraldo Rivera. Everybody was watching live with bated breath.
Literally. No, okay, thank you for saying that, because people who didn't watch it weren't around then, it is hard to overstate the level of hype around that show. It was this 2-hour live broadcast, 30 million people tuned in This Week in 1986, and there was like, do you remember Geraldo's breathless delivery? And,
yeah.
And like all the things, like these stories that he'd done about what probably is inside there, and the rat-a-tat-tat of the gun, of the machine guns, and the bootlegging operation. I mean, boy, you were just so jacked up about what was potentially going to be inside that vault that, you know, it was just this incredible phenomenon on TV that everybody watched. And, they went to the Lexington Hotel, multiple camera crews. They had an IRS agent, a weapons person, an expert. They had a coroner there in case they found dead bodies, or like they had all kinds of things going on. And in the end, it was a big nothing burger, as you will recall. Super awk, even for Geraldo Rivera, who seems to be able to do anything on television, but we pulled the clip at the very end, Wendy, you'll appreciate this one. 2 hours later, we open the vault, and here is Geraldo Rivera.
It seems, at least up to now, that we've struck out with the vault. I'm disappointed about that, as I'm sure you are. This is one time in my life that a pot of gold would have been a lot more fun than chasing the rainbows. We found some bottles. We found some other artifacts. The vaulted space did date back to the time of Scarface Al Capone. But, I don't know, our seismic or sonic tests must have been slightly awry, because we didn't find the much heralded hollow spaces that we were led to believe were in there. So, what can I say? I'm sorry. I would thank my buddies here for doing the job. Thank you for watching. I promised all the critics that if we didn't find anything, I'd sing a song. So Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. All right, I'm going. I'll see you. Good night. I'm sorry.
Oh, you should be sorry.
He ends the whole thing with, I'm sorry.
I know.
Okay.
It was so hyped. The dynamite exploded. Everybody, that was must-see TV. Everybody was watching it live.
Right. And it just, if they had found something, it just became known as just, you know, the big letdown in live television. But, you know, there you go. We watched.
All right. That was great. All right. What else in Chicago history?
Oh, okay. So here's a good one. You know, the Bears fans are still gloating about the results of this year's draft, and we've got a lot of hope and predictions about next year. But let's go back 50 years, Wendy. Perhaps the most important and impactful pick ever for the Chicago Bears, I think it's fair to say, 1975, Walter Payton was selected by the Bears, first round, fourth overall pick. Of course, he'd go on to become one of the greatest running backs ever to play in the game, and like the most beloved players in history. But let's pull this clip here, because in 1975, Bears GM Jim Finks, coach Jack Pardee, just filled with so much faith in Payton at that time. They wanted him so badly. You can almost hear them busting at the seams with pride when they get their top pick, Walter Payton.
Chicago Bears, first round selection. Walter Payton, Payton, running back, Jackson State.
The reason that I went to Jackson State was because something that my mom told me a long time ago. And after junior year in high school, she brought it into focus for me. She said, if an individual or person tries to buy your talents, then they think very little of you as a person and more of you as a product. Once that product ceases to produce, then that individual has no more need for it. He goes out and buys another one.
Sweetness, definitely.
Mm. Yeah. Just an incredible, you know, all-around guy who just, kind of just just really became synonymous with the game, and we still have still have the award that they give out at the Super Bowl every year in honor of him. So, you know, made such an impact on the team, and that was an incredible moment for Bears fans, for sure.
Yeah, we need some incredible moments coming forward, hopefully.
Let's bring them on.
All right, and I think I am the only one born and bred here in the Chicago metro area who never got to witness Bozo live in action.
You never got to go on the show?
No.
Because your parents didn't put in for the application when you were born?
No.
Like, remember, it was like 7-year wait or something.
I got a postcard from Garfield Goose. That's all I got.
Pretty good. Okay, so I grew up jealous because my 2-year-old sister was on the show with me, and she got picked for the grand prize game. And I was so jealous. But this week, 1962, the grand prize game made its debut on the Bozo Show, and it became like the highlight. Wouldn't you say, Wendy? I mean, isn't that like
oh, totally.
Everyone looked forward to?
The bike and the giant Tootsie Roll.
Remember the prizes? Like, you'd get like a gift certificate to Goldblatt's or like a Slinky, and then you'd work your way up to like maybe Slurpees at 7-Eleven. But bucket number 6 was like the huge deal, right? The big, big deal. You would get an Atari gaming system in the 70s or a PlayStation. The bicycles were always huge. And we pulled a clip here, rare moments, because it was rare to see a kid get all the way up to the 6th bucket. It was hard, right?
Yeah.
But we pulled this audio of a kid that did it. The kid dream in Chicago.
It is now time to play Bozo's You know how to play. You have to put a ping pong ball in each one of the buckets going up to 6. But you know what we have in bucket number 6? We've got a brand new, crisp $50 bill. Whoa. Are you ready now for bucket number 6? This is it. Take another ping pong ball. This is it right down here.
And that kid won a Schwinn bicycle.
Yes.
Every kid at home was so jealous. It's interesting, though, you go back and think about it. Bill Murray was actually interviewed once and said it was one of his big childhood heartbreaks that he never got to be on the show and win, you know, the grand prize game and stuff like that. It's just, and the other theory I have, tell me what you think about this, Wendy, but I have this theory that, like, they sold that, the at-home version. WGN actually marketed and created a small version of the grand prize game and sold it in toy stores like Toys R Us.
Yeah, we had it.
Played at home. And my theory is we did too. And my theory is that is the reason so many grown adults in Chicago are good at beer pong to this day. that was the training.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, the Bozo buckets you purchased to play yes. at home, it was like a plastic mat that connected all the buckets were connected
right.
to it. Yeah,
right. And they just kind of flipped up, and
right.
they were kind of like a larger version of the Red Solo Cup.
Right.
Of, like if you think about it, so
yes.
like all that practice, you know, in the basements of your friends' houses. That's why Chicago kids became good at beer pong.
All right. And so did actor Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue play?
Oh, yeah. It's funny because I was like, all these Chicagoans over the years, they've interviewed and they've some people have mentioned the Bozo Show. There's so many mentions. And Dennis Franz is one who talked about how he got to go on the Bozo Show and he was so excited and he missed on bucket number 1. True story. My sister, when she was on the show, she went overhand for number 1. And she only came home with, like, little buttons of, like, Cookie the Clown and stuff. I'm like, Trish, come on. You don't go overhand. Like, you know.
Am I imagining things, or did they give away pantyhose at one point, too, in some of the buckets?
You know, it's funny how Chicago-centric the prizes were.
Yeah.
And you go back and you look at some of them. It's so awesome to think about. You know, Weebolt's gift certificate.
Exactly.
Like I said, a month's supply of Slurpees. It's your local 7-Eleven. It was just fun.
Great memories. Fun. Anna DeVlantis, yes. You do such a great job with this. Thank you so
Thank you,
much.
Buddy. Good talking with you.
You as well. This Week in Chicago History.